or in Salish and Kootenai, it's Swinkaels Ulsawachim. And in Kootenai, it's Kusukliomumal Alkalmokwaits. So those words are, the latter of those two word or those two phrases stands for lightning, because that's the closest thing we had to energy in the two languages. And then the word in front of it is those who care for it. Because when we name things, we try to name the group of people of what they're doing for the tribe. So
it translates to those who care for...
Yeah, those who care for the energy, mm-hmm. For the rest of the people. So closest thing in English is energy keepers.
And this is a corporation that's been formed for the sole purpose of overseeing the purchase of Kerr Dam and then the operation of that facility.
Yeah, that's correct. It's established for acquiring the facility and operating it. So we're in the process right now of starting up that corporation to do just that. So we're chasing personnel and pursuing staffing for the operations of the facility. We've got four operator trainees right now that are training at PPL Montana facilities, both at Kerr and at facilities in Great Falls, and going through an apprenticeship program to become licensed hydropower operators. And then we've got others that we're pursuing as well in the plant management arena. And then we've got power marketing coordinator who's in a training program at Bonneville Power Administration over in Portland. So learning the ins and outs of power marketing, that'll be another major part of what we do as we take over the facility. And then the business structure is being assembled as well.
The purchase of the dam really kicked off in 1985, didn't it, when the tribes negotiated the relicensing of the dam with what was then Montana Power and basically became a co-licensee.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
With the option to buy the dam down the road.
Yes. So in 1985, you may recall there was a relicensure of Kerr Dam. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission issues licenses for privately held hydropower facilities across the country, and they're typically 50-year licenses. So the first license for Kerr was issued in 1930. That expired, of course, in 1980. And in 1976, both Montana Power Company and the tribes filed for relicensure of the facility. So the tribes filed a competing license application. Through 9 years of negotiation then, till 1985, the tribes and the Montana Power Company came to settlement. And that settlement entailed an increase in the land rental charge. So the Federal Power Act allows for Indian tribes who have facilities such as this built on their lands to get land rental for the use and occupancy of their land, which, of course, Kerr sits on tribal land, uses tribal resources. In 1980, at the time of the expiration of the first license, we were receiving about $4.5 million per year in land rental charge. We had economists that told us at the time that that was not near adequate, that we should be receiving about half of the revenue from the facility since we owned half the reservoir, half the storage reservoir, and it sat on our property.
Flathead Lake.
Yes, that's right. So that was estimated in 1985 at about $25 million. So we approached Montana Power Company and said, look, why don't you sell us the facility first instead? So after 9 years of back and forth, I'll really summarize it shortly, they said, how about we give you a lesser lease? We pay you a lesser lease up front for the opportunity to buy the facility at original cost construction, less depreciation, and you get that opportunity for the latter 20 years of the license. And in addition, we'll provide you some training so you get prepared to operate it 5 years prior to that time, which is 2015. So the tribe said, sure, we'll take that deal. It made sense to us because we get opportunity to buy the facility that we wanted to. We did get an increase in lease, not as much as we'd hoped for, but we recognized that it was an opportunity to get the asset acquired.
It's about $19 million a year now, right?
So that lease has increased. So we negotiated to $9 million, as I said, and that's increased to $19 million per year now, and then it'll continue to increase over time. And energy keepers will continue to pay that lease back to the tribe as well for the use and occupancy of the lands.
Once you own.
That's right. That's right.
to go back even further, when the dam was first constructed, the tribes didn't want the dam there. It was built basically to supply power to the mining operations in Butte and smelting in Anaconda.
That's correct.
And the tribes objected because it was they felt an infringement on a cultural resource of the falls.
That's right, yeah. So it's always good and important to start out a conversation about Kerr from a tribe's perspective, that it is built on a very significant cultural site and natural resource site. And, of course, the impacts to that are profound. The falls that was there is no longer there. It's underwater. So the impacts are irreversible from that perspective. You know, there's enough alteration of the landscape there that a lot of it's changed. So, it was originally constructed at that in that era, and it's important to realize that that was an era that people really thought the Flathead Indian Reservation was going to go away. Keep in mind, it was right at the end of the allotment era for reservations across the country. Not just the Flathead, but others were impacted by an assimilation policy of the federal government, whereby they allotted the lands, gave them away to individual tribal members, and then what was left was opened up for homesteading, at least on the Flathead Indian Reservation. So there was this, you know, huge land grab that had gone on and taken place from about 1910 through the 1920s. And Kerr was part of that. You know, Montana Power Company came into the picture as part of that opening up of the reservation. It was associated with the construction of the irrigation project across the reservation, which was also part of the allotment, because if you had irrigation, you could have more allotments, because you could have smaller parcels of property that would meet the agricultural economic benefit standard that was established for how big an allotment needed to be. So if you irrigated the land, you could make smaller ones. If you had smaller ones, you'd make more of them. So they started constructing the irrigation project along with the allotments in order to assure that a portion of the irrigation project worked, the north part of it in the Mission Valley. They had to assure that Pablo Reservoir would fill every year, because it won't just from gravity. So it requires pumping, and they were planned to pump out of the Flathead River at the time, and so the federal government actually started the original project there, and we're just going to build a series of tunnels. They were going to be called the Newell Tunnels, and it was going to be a run-of-the-river facility. It was just going to provide power to the city of Polson and those pumps. So Montana Power Company comes on the scene and says, "You're not thinking big enough. We'll build a dam. We'll give you the power you need for the running the pumps, and we'll take the rest." So, of course, that's how Kerr Dam got started.
That's what happened, yeah. So why, after all these years, Brian, do the tribes want to own the dam?
Well, first of all, it sits on our reservation, on our property, uses our resources. So it'll be the first opportunity in 80 years that we'll have control of our own resources again, Flathead Lake and the lower Flathead River. So that's primary. And, of course, it's an important cultural site that we'll have physical control back of that we haven't had for 80 years. Although it is tribal lands, we don't have physical control of it because it's part of the license. It's within the license parameters itself, so we don't control that at the moment. So we'll have those two things back. And in addition, it's a great opportunity for economic income for the tribe. So although we do get a lease payment now, which, as you said, has escalated to about $19 million, when you look backwards over time at the market compared to the output, that's not near what the tribes could have made over the past 25 years if they would have owned it. So there's that opportunity as we look to the future. We hope that it's provides economic benefit to the tribe. And then finally, it creates opportunity for employment. So hopefully, we'll have about 20 or so employees, and I'm optimistic that several of those will be tribal members. And they'll be good, you know, family-supportable wages associated with those jobs.
This deal is to be completed in September of 2015.
That's correct. Yeah.
And in your opinion, it will happen, but the price that you will pay for the dam is still under arbitration, correct? PPL Montana now owns the dam, and they are asking more for the dam than the tribes think is fair.
That's correct. So currently we've disputed the original cost construction less depreciation cost estimate that PPL Montana has given us. Part of the deal that we negotiated in 1985 that we spoke of earlier included provisions for how the sale would take place. So the company was to provide us an estimate of OCLD in September of 2010. They did that. It was around $54 million or so. And then they were to provide us an updated conveyance price in September of 2012. So they did that. And it was around $51 million, and I think it's 51.6. The tribes then, if we didn't agree, we had opportunity to dispute. So we disputed that price, and we had opportunity to negotiate. These are all opportunities spelled out in the license. So we negotiated with PPL Montana. We failed to reach a settlement, so we took advantage of an opportunity to petition for arbitration. So we did that, filed that demand for arbitration in December, and we've asserted that the price should be more like around $16
million. 16.
Yeah, and the primary difference between PPL Montana's estimate for original costs less depreciation and ours is that they've included the depreciated costs for mitigation of the resources impacted by the facility, which, of course, are tribes' resources. So they've included those costs, which are normally considered operating costs and not considered capital, in their estimate. So we've disputed that. There are several other provisions of the license and provisions of the accounting standards that also indicate that it should not be included.
Are you confident that despite this dispute over the selling price, that this will be negotiated and there won't be a point where you say, well, the deal's off?
Well, you'd never want to say there's going to be a point where the deal's off, because obviously you can't completely see into the future. Who knows? Maybe there's a big earthquake and something happens and we wouldn't want it right before we take over. But if we're on the current track we're on, Sally, even if we had to pay 51.6 and we lost in arbitration, we'd still proceed. That's not the market value of the facility by any means, but it's not what we negotiated in 1985 either. So, we're confident that we're going to proceed one way or the other.
And September 2015 would be quite a month for the tribes. You would be the first tribes in the country, I believe, to own a major hydroelectric dam.
That's correct. We'll be the first tribe in the nation to be the sole owner of a major hydroelectric facility. There are other tribes that are on similar paths to ours that will become majority owners or owners in the future, but it's out beyond 2015. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that date in history for us. It'll be a watershed moment, if you will, for us.
Come full circle in some ways.
And that fits with our history as a tribe. We've been pretty aggressive at trying to take control of our own destiny. In 1934, we were the first tribe in the nation to become recognized under the Indian Reorganization Act. We've been the first tribe in the nation to become a contractor with the Bureau of Indian Affairs for all of the programs that are provided for the tribes. And then we've moved on to an even more independent relationship with the federal government there and moved to what's called compacting. So we've taken advantage every opportunity that we've had to take control of our own resources and our own destiny as a people. So this just fits right in with that.
We have been speaking with Brian Lipscomb, who's CEO of Energy Keepers, Inc., which is the tribal corporation that is in the process of purchasing and then operating Kerr Dam. Brian, thanks so much for giving us both the history lesson and the status update on that effort. Thank you.
You bet.